Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him, and she asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of our Lord. During my seminary years, I attended a seminary in Richmond, Virginia. Richmond is a decent-sized city. There's about 1.4 million people there. It's a very crime-ridden city. There's at least one person a day that is murdered. And Richmond actually used to be the murder capital of the world several years ago. I think Chicago has beaten it out at this point. But while I was living in Richmond and going to seminary, I did an internship at MCV Hospital, which is in the heart of downtown Richmond. And it's a level one trauma hospital. There's 12 floors of trauma there. During this internship, I was a chaplain for the emergency department and the neurology unit, as well as the step-down ICU. And I've actually talked about this internship with you all before in previous sermons, and I talked about how this was a very difficult internship for me. And it was difficult because people were constantly being brought into the emergency department for motorcycle accidents and for stabbings and shootings. And I really just struggled with seeing so much trauma and hurting people all day long, every day. Most days I felt very overwhelmed with grief for these people and their families that were hurting and the horrible tragedies that were occurring. As I would talk about my experiences with my classmates and my supervisor, I would tell them how difficult it was for me to see people in such deep pain and to watch people grieve the sudden death of their loved one. And my classmates and my supervisor, they were very encouraging, they were very supportive, they would offer consoling words, but they would also consistently remind me that it was my job to manifest a non-anxious presence during those situations while I was sitting with the patients. My supervisor and my classmates were, of course, going through the same sort of trauma on their own units. They were wrestling with their own feelings of sadness and grief for their patients. But it was our job and our duty as a chaplain, or to be a chaplain, to those people, which means that we had to pull it together when we stood in those hospital rooms. No matter what sort of trauma we walked into, we still had to manifest a non-anxious presence in the face of it all so that we could support the patient and their family members. Which means even in those times when I walked into a hospital room and a patient has his chest blown open from a shotgun wound, I still had to have a non-anxious presence. Or the times that I walked into a hospital room and a two-year-old had just coded, or when I walked into a hospital room and a mother had just learned that her 17-year-old son had severe brain trauma from a car accident and he would never remember her name again, I still had to manifest a non-anxious presence. I had to stay calm and fully composed and be supportive and actively listen to them. During that internship, I spent a lot of time contemplating how in the world you can manifest a non-anxious presence in the midst of so much trauma and heartache. And what I came to realize over that year is that the only way to endure such extreme heartache and fear and pain and worry while at the same time manifesting this non-anxious presence is by believing in God's promises. Believing in God's promises like that which we find in Romans 8:28, which tells us that no matter how difficult or hard a situation is, God will always make something good come out of it. During that internship, I came to realize that the only way to manifest a non-anxious presence when things look very grim all around you is by sitting there trusting in God's truth. Trusting in God's truth that tells us that he always has a plan to prosper us. Trusting that God will always provide for his people and bring them through to the other side, which is the essence of Exodus, as God continually provided for the Israelites as they journeyed to the Promised Land. I came to realize during that internship that the only way to manifest a non-anxious presence when everything else around you is crumbling and that there's unstable ground is by clinging to the hope of our faith. The hope of our faith, which reassures us that there is nothing in this world that God cannot overcome and conquer, even death. During all those times of heartbreak and trauma, I really came to understand that it took those three things to manifest a non-anxious presence. It takes believing in God's promises, trusting in God's truth, and clinging to the hope of our faith. In our passage from Luke this morning, Mary is actually manifesting a non-anxious presence, and she seems to have mastered the art of it. In our passage, Jesus has shown up at the home of Mary and Martha. And on one end of the spectrum, we have Martha, who has completely taken on and embodied a very anxious presence. She is busily and frantically rushing around the home, cleaning, fixing dinner, making sure everything is perfectly in place and put together so that Jesus is properly taken care of and comfortable. Martha exerts all of her energy entertaining her anxious thoughts and worrying and fretting about having Jesus at her house. And then on the complete other end of the spectrum, we have Mary, who has manifested a non-anxious presence and is just very calmly sitting at Jesus' feet, completely soaking him in. And despite the fact that Martha has implored Mary to help her and even implored Jesus to reprimand Mary, Mary has ignored it all. She has not allowed herself to be pulled into Martha's anxious frenzy. Mary has not allowed herself to become distracted by any of it. And instead, she has chosen to embrace this rare opportunity and to spend time at Jesus' feet and see what sort of beauty unfolds and evolves from there. Recently, I was at a conference, and the keynote at this conference spoke about something very similar to this. She spoke about the dualism between having an anxious presence versus manifesting a non-anxious presence. And as she spoke about this dualism between anxious presence versus the non-anxious presence, she did so by describing the different changes and transitions that a church faces throughout its lifetime. The speaker used the word liminality to refer to the various changes that a church will experience throughout its years. This word liminality refers to the times in a church life when something is ending or changing and the future is still a little unknown. It refers to the space between what once was and what is still yet to come. So liminality could be likened to the state of limbo, perhaps, or a state of not knowing, which, as all of you know, that is a pretty hard place to live. As humans, we really like to know things. We like to know the who, what, when, and where of every situation. We like to be able to plan and prepare. We like to be able to look ahead and have everything all worked out in our minds about any given situation. And when we cannot look ahead and answer the who, what, when, and where, we get a little anxious. When everything isn't all mapped out ahead of us, we get worried and frantic. When we are faced with living in liminality, the space where once what once was is ending and the future is still a little unknown, then we can very easily turn into Martha. We can begin to worry and fret and let the anxious thoughts overwhelm us. Or the other option in that situation is to take on the persona of Mary and to sit in that space of liminality at Jesus' feet very calmly and embrace the rare opportunity that is before us and be open to the beautiful things that can evolve and unfold. As you all know, we are currently experiencing our own liminality here in this church. My time here is coming to an end, and someone new will be stepping in to take my place. There's a state of limbo that we are embarking on, where the pastor you have known for the past couple of years is moving on, and you don't know who the next new pastor will be. That is a state of liminality that we're all experiencing, and there's a lot of natural worries and fears that come up associated with that. Fears like, how long will it take to find a new pastor? What will we do in the meantime? Will the programs and the events continue to exist? Will we be able to find somebody that's full of life and energy? This list can become exhaustive, and we can overwhelm ourselves with the what-if scenarios. Not knowing what the future holds can very easily stress us out and make us fearful, during this time of liminality, we can quickly take on the persona of Martha. Or we can take on the persona of Mary during our time of liminality. We can open ourselves up to the wonderful possibilities of the unknown, believing in God's promises, trusting in God's truth, and clinging to the faith, the hope of our faith. We can choose to sit calmly at Jesus' feet during this time of change and transition, embracing this opportunity and anticipating the great and wonderful things that will evolve and unfold. We may not know exactly what the future holds, but what we do know is that God will always see us through. God will always provide for us, and God always has a plan to prosper us. We may not know exactly what is going to happen in the months ahead, but what we do know is that there are people lined up to preach in this pulpit on Sunday mornings. There's a minister who will be providing pastoral counseling and care for people who may be in need in the months ahead. There are people who are meeting and working to form the pastor nominating committee. And there are people who are lined up and that are going to carry on the work of this church. We may not have the road mapped out perfectly before us, but this church is in a great position. It is alive, it is full of energy, it is growing. And currently, there are 2,000 pastors that are looking for a church. And this church is a great prospect for them. It's in a beautiful location. It is full of warm and loving people. So the future is very bright. There are great possibilities and opportunities ahead for this church. So in this time of change and transition, in this time of liminality that we are all facing, may we all be mindful of Jesus' words when he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid." May we all navigate this time of transition by embodying Mary and manifesting a non-anxious presence. May we all believe in God's promises, trust in God's truth, and cling to the hope of our faith. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.